My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch Out here in WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. The Pro Wrestling Year Review Series has returned. That's right. Today marks the kickoff of that series, 12 episodes covering every single thing that happened, well, nearly every single thing that happened in the past year of pro wrestling. We kick off with January, of course. Rich Fan of Pro Wrestling Torch and post-wrestling returns to help me guide through January, which, of course, was all about WWE when it comes to the news. Vince McMahon, the sex trafficking lawsuit that erupted in January and all the fallout from that. WWE announced that Raw was moving to Netflix as part of a new big 10-year, $5 billion deal. The Rock joined the board of directors. The Royal Rumble happened. Cody won that. Bayley won the Rumble, and all types of other things that happened in WWE. So Rich and I go through all that. Of course, the month in AEW, TNA, Japan, everything else in between. So a very interesting month, as always. I'm glad to have Rich return for the show and kick off the series the right way. So let's get right to it. Rich Fan of Post Wrestling and PW Torch joining me talking about January 2024 in the world of pro wrestling. Enjoy. Well, it is that time of year, and that means the year in review series back for, I believe it's third year I've been doing this for the wrestling side of things, and happy for the first time. Bring this guest back. However, the first time he's led off the series, leadoff hitter, you know, did some evaluation in the off season, and I'm like, this guy, he cranks, he gets on base all the time. It's time to have him lead off. He, of course, is a columnist for PW Torch. You can see him talk about all types of things, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all types of other related issues and so on in the world of that type of pop culture. For Post Wrestling, the man himself, Rich Fan. Rich Fan is back. Rich, welcome back.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, we did, Josh, October.
Yes.
So this is very baseball appropriate. It's like, I was Mr. October, you kept me on contract, and now it's like, all right, bring in the righty.
Of course. Yes. And then, yeah, I was glad to have you back. And let me ask you, because I've not caught up this episode of the podcast, if you have talked about it. I recently went and saw Venom 3, or Venom, The Last Dance. Your thoughts, I guess, in general, real quick, on the Sony Spider-Man Marvel Cinematic Universe, so to speak.
Yeah, sure. So I guess the Sony in general, it's that friend that sees you buy something and gets the kind of like, you know, when we were growing up, my mom would always say, like, you know, we don't have to worry about McDonald's money. We got McDonald's at home. And it was certainly not McDonald's at home, or, you know, my favorite is Mountain Lightning.
Oh, yes.
From the store.
Dr. Thunder.
And I was like, wait, can we just get, yeah, Dr. Thunder. Yes. Thank you. I'm speaking to my tribe. I love it. I'm like, for the love of God, can we just pay the extra 60 cents and get the Dr. Pepper, please? Or the Mountain Dew, please? And I feel like that's what Sony does. They have this great agreement with Marvel for Spider-Man to share. And then they keep stepping on rakes. In fact, we got the guys over at Post between Way and John. They allowed us to do MCU Hater for 1 month, where typically with our show, we're just going through. Like, sometimes we like a show, sometimes we don't. But we went through 5 movies that up until that point, I said I would never watch. And so one of them was Madam Web. Mm. And watching that and leaning into the, my mom died researching spiders in the Amazon, and just how they let a character just completely get sidetracked was wild to me. But then with Venom, the first 2 movies I loved. And even this third one, I thought it was all right. But for me, my biggest issue was, as a comic books fan, I love the idea of Null. I love the idea of the symbiotic, like, planet. I even liked on the other side where they had Gore the God Butcher in Thor Love and Thunder. They're similarly super pale dudes that kind of speak grand and threaten the universe. But in the case of Null, I feel like they kind of wasted him as this, like, pseudo narrator while everything's going on. But outside of that, yeah, like every other one of these movies, hey, we're going to make a movie about Kraven the Hunter, but he doesn't hunt. He kills poachers. What?
Yeah.
We're going to make a movie about Aunt May as a spy. No, no, we're going to scratch that one. Now we're going to make one about the Sinister Six, and we're going to involve a character who we just said is in his last dance. What? Like, I don't get it, man. Like, yeah. It's a lot of bad decisions wrapped up in worse decisions for me.
I can't stop going to see him in the theater. I can't, as much as I don't like him, and it's just, I don't know. I saw Madame Web in the theater. I saw him in the theater.
Oh, bless you. I couldn't do it.
It's a ritual. My friend and I, we lives about an hour away, and we usually, it's a good occasion for us to get out of the house and go have dinner and see a movie, and we don't really care kind of what it is. We know going in, like, okay, this might not be that great, but we're just like, let's just go for it. And we come out of it, and we're never like, oh, we shouldn't do this. We're just like, yeah, that's pretty terrible. Like, all right, we'll see you in a month. You know, go see something else. Yeah. Yeah. I was just curious about that. But obviously, you can catch Rich's thoughts. And who else co-hosts that show with you again at MCU?
Oh, that's my man, W.H. Park.
Yes, that's right. You can catch them on Post Wrestling, of course. You can check them out. But let's get into January, and we'll begin with WWE/NXT. And if you're first time here, first welcome. And what I do is I go through all the different news headlines and stories and things like that from every single month. I go through, like, I don't know, from our website, I don't know, 450, 460 different headlines and scan through them. And obviously there's a lot of stuff which doesn't really hit for that and much of importance to the given for the month. But I got to go through and pick out all the big stuff and then break them out. And we kind of talk over them here. And, you know, a lot of these stories obviously have been talked to death, but we have to just kind of go over them, see what happened. A lot of stuff we forget. So, obviously, the big news, there's three big things this month for a variety of different reasons. One for wow, one for wow, that's not good, and one for wow, that is that's something. So we'll start with the wow, that's pretty good, which is Raw being announced as moving to Netflix as part of a new 10-year deal, $5 billion, all that good stuff, you know, short money to you and I, Rich. And there was obviously all the, this was the big thing, is where is Raw going to move? Obviously, SmackDown being taken care of and so on. This was the big one. And it could be a 20-year deal, I think, when it's all said and done. If they do an extension, of course, you know, that, who knows? I think it's a 5. They can extend to a 10, if I remember right. Whatever the details are. Netflix CEO, originally there was some stories that he wasn't very excited, but Ted Sarandos was quoted saying he's being, quote-unquote, super excited about the deal. The company at that point wasn't set to air for 3 months between the period of TV deals. That was the fourth quarter being October, November, December. And, of course, they rectified that and getting a little bit of change from USA Network to stay on. But Nick Khan was talking, there's talk about they're going to move nights and all these things. You know, the assumption is it's going to stay on Mondays. They haven't really said anything different yet. Of course, we haven't really seen any type of marketing campaign, but all intents and purposes, it's going to remain on Mondays and be live worldwide. Of course, part of a bigger deal with, you know, domestic, obviously, the Raw and Netflix, but also internationally, the library is going to be on Netflix as well. So we'll see what kind of happens to that with Peacock here in the States. But the big thing is Raw moving to Netflix, and, you know, over the next, obviously, you know, month and a half, I think we're going to start to really kind of feel the heat of this thing in terms of promotion. And Netflix is all into this. TKO is all into this. WWE is all into this. Is Rich Fan all into this?
Yeah, I am. And I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, when you look at even the Logan Paul fight that's about to, is it Logan? I want to make sure I get the right Paul.
Jake Paul.
I can never get my Paul's one right.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah, so Jake going up against Mike Tyson on Netflix, that's going to be a big to-do. Same thing with WWE on Netflix. They might have lost a little bit in the worldwide money. They make a lot of in terms of market share and kind of coverage in terms of the number of people who have Netflix in their homes. Unlike, say, Peacock, where they had to help grow the brand or kind of work with Comcast to get that done. In this case, it's Netflix. Everyone knows what Netflix is. Now, you know, you don't want to, I know there are some folks who would like to Netflix and chill, but Netflix and chilling with, say, Raw, that's a little weird. But I think it's a win for them, especially considering the way the Mr. McMahon documentary was later featured and kind of the things that came out, but the things normal folk outside of the wrestling world may not have known about him. And so I think that was even another indicator of how much they're in the WWE business because of the way they kind of presented the package of all of this.
Yeah, I think, it's not too much of a hot take, I think, to say that I think this thing is going to be pretty huge for them. And the more that I've kind of thought about it, the year goes on, it's hard to think of a company this successful having a game changer when it goes to a different TV deal. But I think this really is, just because of the scope and how much, how many people they can reach now very easily, and how much that Netflix has become part of everyday life and so on. I mean, I don't think this is going to flop by any means. Whether it's massively successful or just really, really successful, we'll see. But I think this is the start of something, pretty big with WWE. And, you're obviously going to get those people that will never watch wrestling no matter what. But you'll get some people that maybe, they're like, oh, I'll check this out, and try to hit those nostalgia feels with some of the, the shoulder content and documentary stuff, find different ways in to make it more palatable. I think it's going to be pretty big. But yeah, this is a big deal for them. And again, it didn't really sink in until the year kind of went on, and Netflix just keeps getting bigger and bigger with more interest and more live events and so on. But I think this is going to be so much bigger than people think. And, we're a little desensitized because everyone has Netflix, but we all have like, cable of some sort, like YouTube or YouTube TV or, traditional Comcast or, Sling or Hulu or something like that, where it's just another icon on our TV. But this is pretty big, especially worldwide. So, big things going on with Netflix. The next thing, of course, this is the wow in terms of I can't believe this, but I can believe this. This being Vince McMahon, the Janelle Grant lawsuit, accused of sex trafficking and all kinds of terrible things, ultimately resigned from his position and TKO, and of course from WWE altogether. Say he would vigorously defend himself against the allegations. And of course, everyone got comments on this over the months, and as we kind of go through the series, more and more people asked about it, and we'll go on record at least, kind of saying how disgusting the allegations were and how bad these things are and so on and so forth. Triple H saying when he was asked about, saying, I just want to focus on the positives, an infamous quote from the year. Slim Jim at the time when this came out paused their sponsorship and then returned after McMahon resigned. Of course, TKO notified the SEC of the resignation, made it even more official, saying they were addressing the matter internally. Brock Lesnar, of course, has mentioned this lawsuit, pulled from the Royal Rumble. He was going to be at that point eliminated by Dominic Mysterio and face him at the Elimination Chamber. So Brock Lesnar's career has certainly been changed by this quite a bit. We have not seen him since, barely seen him mentioned. He was brought up at a press conference when he was asked. So it is possible in the future. It seems as this is still an active, ongoing lawsuit, you're not going to see him anytime soon. Janelle Grant's lawyer, who's been all over the place, but on post-wrestling quite a bit with Brandon and John, said that Janelle felt caged and imprisoned. Past board member kind of started this, or one of the things that they said, rather, was they did reach out to Janelle Grant about Vince McMahon as part of the board investigations from the Wall Street Journal things. And, of course, this is just all tentacles from that. Of course, John Laurinaitis was mentioned in this lawsuit as well. And that eventually led to his divorce. His stepdaughters, I guess, talked about that. And then, other people, Ronda Rousey, saying that Bruce Pritchard is still around, which he is. Vince McMahon still has a hand in WWE. So everyone had thoughts. Everyone, for the most part, on the outside of WWE was willing to share thoughts and so on. And again, he has not been arrested. There's a federal investigation that's still ongoing that's put the Janelle Grant lawsuit on pause. Of course, with the election results, we expect the federal lawsuit to probably get dropped beginning first year. And then we'll see what kind of goes on from there. But obviously, the lawsuit itself still unresolved. But this was, excuse me, when this came out, there was just this... varying levels of waves of like disgust, disbelief, but all ultimately like this doesn't seem surprising, and the fact that there was not this reasonable outcry from reasonable folks that he is getting railroaded somehow, tells a lot. And, you know, his time in WWE is done forever. You know, TKO leadership has said he's not coming back. You know, we'll see if that ultimately happens, depending on how this all plays out. It's hard for me to believe they can bring him back at this point, just for all the obvious reasons. But what do you remember when you first heard this? I assume probably the same levels, just kind of like dismay, disgust, disbelief, and all that. But what were you thinking at the time when this came out in January?
Yeah, it was a lot of shock in terms of the specificity that was mentioned in the lawsuit and the short-lived John Laurinaitis allegation that he too was a victim,
right,
and was in coerced into doing this, which then was recanted and instead stated as, you know, I was mistaken. This never happened. And if it did, it was consensual. Like, that sort of stuff is just, I don't know, man. It just seemed par for the course, but just so, the details of it just seems so dehumanizing.
Yeah.
For Miss Grant, in terms of the stuff she went through, and then even the framing of the timing of how he misused his privilege, like the ability to provide a chance for someone whose parents had been in a bad way, a chance to find a way out, and instead it's another trauma. And so that was just terrible. Triple H, as he was wont to do this calendar year, step, you know, putting his foot in his mouth, that kind of illustrated to me a little bit of the blind spot TKO may have had in terms of being prepared for something like this and having him from a PR standpoint be ready for it. And Brock Lesnar, as you mentioned, having him mentioned by name and having some of those allegations in terms of like negotiating status tied to some of these interactions or potential interactions was just, whew, that was a lot.
Yeah, one of the things I do think about from time to time in these things is how, because, you know, Triple H has taken his arrows throughout the year, and, you know, Stephanie McMahon, not with the company currently, has kind of come back as time has gone on. I think about their kids, you know. I mm-hmm. think about that stuff, and, you know, because, you know, we both have kids, and I think sometimes we think of kids of privilege and that don't have to really never have to worry about money their entire life, that their lives are easy. I can't be easy to have your grandfather go through this, and you have to deal with the fallout with classmates and people online and things like that. Another thing I tend to sometimes after kind of the initial wave hits, you kind of think like, I don't know. I always just hope the kids are all right and the grandkids are all right, because it's just it's a lot to put on them for something they didn't ask for.
Yeah, I know Declan, I think that's Shane's oldest boy,
yes. Yeah.
was interviewed, and he talked about how, you know, he plays football in college, how, you know, his grandfather's a great man, and it's just another case of people trying to tear him down. Sure. And it's like, oh, buddy. Buddy.
Right. Yeah, right.
And, you know, it made me think of Stephanie when she said when she was younger, their version of 9/11 was the steroid trial. And it's just sometimes there is, like you said, I feel for him because you're in this bubble and, you know, no one ever wants to think in any sort of like granddad could be wrong, let alone granddad could be responsible for such, just debilitating and sad things to think about.
Yeah.
And so it's that balance, right? You know, I want to, as I report this and as we did it at the Torch, I want to be fair and provide, you know, the insight and then kind of weigh it against Vince McMahon's past. And, you know, the Mr. McMahon documentary did a good job of doing that as well. And also, you know, like you said, like unnecessarily, let's not make value judgments about the kids or grandkids or anything like that just because you want the points. Because I think especially on, you know, like say Twitter or something, you want some folks will do the Duncan and get the likes and the all that stuff. But sometimes, you know, it's not worth it. It really isn't. With a case like this,
yeah,
I wanted to be, and I tried to make sure, especially during that month and months following, err on the side of respecting the victim and the allegations and not necessarily using them as a filibuster method to kind of continue a issue I've had with WWE, because one is not both, if that makes sense.
Yep, agreed. And then we go to the wow of the month, which was This one came out of nowhere. The Rock joined the TKO board of directors, and he got his trademarks back, essentially, or got ownership of them as part of this big deal. There was money involved for the him being involved in WrestleMania, which we had learned later on. But he's on the board. He returned on an episode of Raw. Big surprise that he wanted to sit at the head of the table, if you remember that quote, the end of a Raw there, which started leading into a bunch of big things for February. We'll talk in that edition later this week. Said that we're just getting started. So it was definitely one of those things where at the time, it was definitely not a, hey, I'm back in this role or whatever. He was back in a lot of ways, at least for this run we'd see. Said it's time for me to do things never done before in WWE. And he then threw out there that himself versus Roman Reigns could produce the biggest WrestleMania ever. And at that point, WWE was still planning a Rock and Roman Reigns match for the year. Of course, this was a little bit before the Royal Rumble when some of this stuff came out. But this was the start of what would be a big 4 month plus stretch for the Rock. And again, I never should be surprised when things like this happen. And all of a sudden, it's like Dwayne Johnson, movie star, megastar, mogul, whatever you want to say, is like, yeah, let's put on the short trunks and let's get back in there and do this one more time. And not only that, but I'm going to be on the board for this massive company. This is a huge win for WWE and TKO to have a star of his caliber associated with him at the highest level, kind of coming back to that table, so to speak. But also, for a good opportunity for him to sell some stuff.
Yeah, and I think that him coming back and in this role, like even as we speak now, he's in the movie this weekend, Red One, which is kind of getting, I see a lot of folks joking about, oh, I'll be back in WWE because Red One looks like it's going to bomb. But he also has Moana 2 coming out. So it's like this dude, even when he has crappy movies, he's got a blockbuster coming right down the pipe with it. And so, yeah, having him was the best cologne for all the stuff that was going on with Vince McMahon possible in that very same month. And so it wasn't lost on me that, again, with Triple H, we're only going to talk about good things. It's great to have The Rock back. It's great to have, a great Royal Rumble and Cody can finish his story, allegedly, and all those sorts of things. And okay, that's great. But I think with The Rock, his return, and I was actually just talking with a coworker about this evening before we started podcasting, who was a layperson to the wrestling world, but was aware of The Rock. And I'm like, yeah, it's $7 promotions. Always talks about the fact he had $7 in his pocket. And that was the last thing. It's like, he's a long way away from that. And to go from the guy with $7 in his pocket to a member of the board of directors for TKO, that's amazing.
Yep. Hard to believe. Hard to believe the guy booed as Flex Cavana and his fur when he came Rocky Maivia when he first came up. If you said then this guy's going to be in the board of this company when it's near its apex, be like,
and he's
going
to have the guy that was in a feud with Henry O. Godwin in a blender managerially.
Oh my God. But unbelievable. You never know what's going to happen. And of course, then we had the Royal Rumble, which was a couple highlights, of course, Andrade making his return to the company, joined the Raw roster shortly after. Bayley winning the Women's Royal Rumble, Cody Rhodes winning his second straight Men's Royal Rumble. So the rematch between him and Roman Reigns was on, or was it? We'll talk more about that next month. Next episode, rather, Bron Breakker replaced Brock Lesnar in the Rumble match and was basically called up to the main roster. CM Punk tore his tricep in the Royal Rumble match. Later saying in a promo that WrestleMania was not in the cards for him, so basically tore the other tricep. So, yeah, he's working on a new set there. Kevin Owens worked the Rumble with an injury. And also there was some returns. Naomi, Jordynne Grace, Knockouts champion at TNA, made her debut, as well as Jade Cargill. That was a big pop as well. So, yeah, the Royal Rumble was the usual kind of mixed reviews as people had, but usual amount of stars, debuts. Cody winning, that was a big moment. And yeah, unfortunately for CM Punk, that would put him out of action for a while. But yeah, overall, as always, a newsworthy and noteworthy Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and I enjoyed, even with CM Punk's injury, the way that they set up so many storylines to come in this month with that Rumble. So I thought for them, even though you had that dark cloud, the silver lining of what they made out of it was quite successful.
Yeah. John Cena, I want to throw in some of these quotes before we get to some of the other headlines, because this was before the retirement tour was announced. Cena saying, on his post-in-ring career, I always wanted to be involved in the business. He revealed the venue he wants to host his final WWE match, which I believe was London. And I mean, I thought, you know, Boston, New England guy, West Newbury, he'd want to say the Garden, but no, London, England. Unbelievable. Maybe he meant New England, London, New England, or something like that. We'll see. Said he will retire from WWE before he turns 50. Accurate. And he said, I don't have much time left in WWE. So clearly things were progressing and being plotted for the retirement tour, which I think is such a smart idea. I love this idea. Like, I love when AEW did it with Sting. I wish they kind of made it more of a tour, but I think the retirement whole thing itself was as perfect as it gets. I'm nostalgic. I like when we get to do this stuff as fans and see and honor people and while they're around, be like, you meant something. You know, they get, big pops no matter where they go for guest appearances and things like that. But a real tour and like go around and do this thing, like, let's go, man. I love this stuff and I'm looking forward to this retirement tour quite a bit.
Yeah, I like Cena's new gimmick where he shows up everywhere in like a 3-piece suit and it's just like your favorite accountant's pro wrestler. He's like Erwin R. Seister, like for the next generation. I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
I think, and with this conversation you're mentioning here in his post-ring career from January, it's really cool to see the plans he has in place for himself. And it's not too dissimilar for The Rock, if I'm honest. He knows what he wants and he's confident in just kind of saying, all right, we're doing this retirement tour. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's go with the rest of this list. So we're going to break this up into two chunks. I'll kick it over to you for thoughts of anything in these bulleted items, which include, of course, Roman Reigns defending the title in a fatal four-way at the Rumble. However, it's not scheduled for Elimination Chamber. Spoiler alert, he successfully defended his title in that fatal four-way. Sami Zayn needed 15 staples after getting busted open at a house show. Sonya Deville is cast as a police officer in a film called DNA Secrets. Sounds like something that you might see in like Skinamax way back in the day or something like that. But she was cast as a police officer there. TKO combined their WWE and UFC sponsorship teams, so obviously their corporate synergy continues. The Final Testament was revealed as the name of the Karrion Kross Authors of Pain faction. The Pride was the name of the Bobby Lashley and Street Profits faction. Austin Theory and Carmelo Hayes were okay after one of their matches stopped due to injury. I believe Austin Theory got hurt in that or get hit in the head or something along those lines, but both guys were okay, two New England guys. Bailey says she'll always be destined for one more match with Mercedes Moné. We'll see if that happens. I kind of think that it will. Big E talked a lot about his possible in-ring return, and pretty much any interview he's asked about this and talks about and smartly says, I just want to make a smart decision. Yes. In January, there was a story that Brock Lesnar was turning to WWE TV soon until he wasn't, of course, due to the lawsuit. Punk was announced as doing an appearance for Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber starting very early. These PLEs starting the correct local time for our friends overseas. And Elimination Chamber was a morning pay-per-view in the East Coast, if I remember right. But it was like 6 a.m. or something like that. So, yeah, and he was there. Cody Rhodes, the good guy, sending middle school, the wrestling club, to WrestleMania 40. Cody, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair were announced as WWE 2K24 cover stars. Elias, remember him? got released and released his first post-WWE promo video. Revealed his new her ring name, which I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but it's not too far away from Elias. I did not realize, like, so I looked up on Cage Match because I figured, I'm like, is he getting booked? I don't hear anything about him at all. And he works pretty regularly on the indies, but I haven't seen him. I haven't heard anything from him. I try to stay pretty plugged in, but yeah, I have, he's out there doing stuff, but I haven't heard too much about him. Felony charge against Liv Morgan was dropped. Camille, at the time, expected to join WWE. However, that did not happen. Gable Stevenson said he was focused on his WWE career, not returning to college wrestling. Spoiler alert, he did return to college wrestling after he was cut. And then Giovanni Vinci was out a number of weeks following an injury sustained on WWE Raw. Anything of note in that first chunk?
Yeah, in that first chunk, you mentioned Elias, so he went by Elijah.
Yep.
I remember watching that video and I'm like, so you just added, okay. I get it. All right, man, have fun with it. God bless. And I just did the same thing. Looked at Cage Master. I was like, this dude was wrestled last month. Like, I don't remember hearing about this. And see, yeah, wrestling in Puerto Rico, wrestling in Michigan. He's all over the East United States of America. Wrestling big names. And I think him trying to reinvent himself, I applaud him on it. We'll see where it goes. And the only two the other ones that stood out to me was the Gable Steveson, especially because that I think the announcement just happened, what, yesterday? With regard to him saying, oh yeah, I'm going back and I'm going to complete my my last year of eligibility. And I'm like, man. And it stunk. I got why he did it at the time. But also, you know, that's what happens when you have a job and you got to deal with it. And the wrestling cup, I thought, as always, Cody's such a great ambassador, whatever company he's in. Getting tickets for the wrestling cup to go to WrestleMania was just amazing.
Second chunk here. Money in the Bank was announced for Toronto. Raquel Rodriguez out of action with mast cell activation syndrome. And she actually worked the Elimination Chamber with this, and Rhea was like, what is this? And I kind of read about it. Sounds terrible. She was out of action for a good portion of the year, so hopefully that is I would say cleared up, but is manageable, and we'll just kind of see what happens for her career as we go ahead. The oft injured these days, Charlotte Flair, underwent surgery for a knee injury. She has not returned as of this point. WWE hired former ESPN executives or head of media production, I believe, if I remember right. This is Lee Fitting, who is the guy who was involved in the ESPYs or the Emmy, the daytime Emmy scandal.
Yeah.
But he's doing things that people seem to like on WWE programming. So I guess he's everyone needs a second chance, right? WWE is a headline. They were looking to align with Japanese promotions. That would certainly happen in the first few months of 2024. The company, WWE and UFC, both running Anaheim, which was part of this new kind of like, let's run one night here. WWE one night, UFC another night in these venues. I think you'll probably try to see more of this as time goes ahead. They announced a partnership with ACP, Montez Ford, to serve as a mentor. So the big community outreach efforts continue, and more high-profile ones as well. Tyler Bate made his SmackDown debut as Butch's mystery partner, and Butch changed his name back to Pete Dunne, which I think everyone liked. The trailer was released for Love and WWE, Bianca and Montez. I include this in here because, you know, with these reality shows, you never know what kind of hits and what doesn't. I didn't ever heard anything about the show at all. It certainly was not like a Total Divas or something like that, where you hear like non-wrestling fans be like, oh, these two, like, there was just, I didn't hear anything about it for whatever reason. So even though it was on Hulu, Seth Rollins suffering a torn MCL and partially torn meniscus on Raw. However, he promised to defend his title at WrestleMania. So yeah, you've always feel bad for anyone that gets hurt, especially right for Mania season. But Seth Rollins was a big part of that Mania main event, as one of the main events, right, as we'll talk about later in the series. Kevin Patrick departed SmackDown commentary team. Corey Graves and Wade Barrett to be the new commentary team. Kevin Patrick going back to soccer. Pat McAfee appears as a guest commentator at the Royal Rumble, and then he later joined the Raw commentary team full-time again as the college football duties wound down in, of course, January. Nick Khan confirmed that Kevin Dunn was out in an exit to an email WB staff, which many people around the world, fans, rejoice that he was gone. And again, with Lee Fitting brought on board, I think a best thing for everyone involved. New seasons of Rivals and Biography on A&E. Biography WB Legends premiering next month on A&E. New women's tag team champions are crowned at SmackDown as Bianca and Jade began their run there. NXT's Ava, of course, daughter of The Rock. Trick Williams, Electra Lopez made their SmackDown debuts. Cora Jade suffered an ACL tear at an NXT house show and had surgery. Dragon Lee was off New Year's Evil due to visa issues. Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin not only won the Dusty Classic tournament, eventually they would win the tag team titles as well. WB announced a date and location for Battleground in 2024. Savannah, Georgia in May. However, that would not happen as they would move that to Las Vegas. We'll talk more about that later. R-Truth has said that he thought he was going to need to have amputation after complications from a quad tear in 2022. William Regal made his return to WWE TV on NXT and named Ava as the general manager of the brand. And Obafemi won the men's breakout tournament in NXT and then eventually won the North American Championship. Thoughts about any of that?
Jumping into the love and WWE, I think you're right. Hulu, it was there, and it wasn't something like Total Divas where it was almost like a movement on E, or, you know, where folks were kind of like, oh my God, I got to catch up to the latest thing. Nick Khan, yeah, Kevin Dunn out of the paint, Lee Fitting. And for those of you who haven't looked it up, definitely don't just take our word for it. Look up what happened with Lee Fitting and the Emmys, and how folks were like given phantom Emmys and they had to give them back. And, you know, the Academy had to like show up outside their houses and it's like, you're going to have to give that to me right now. It's like Heisman gone wrong. Like Reggie Bush is probably, I'm just glad he didn't get one of those Lee Fitting Emmys because he would have been twice annoyed. Obafemi and Regal. The last two you mentioned, Obafemi, that was the start. Little did we know of quite the push for that young man, and Regal returning after his mandated. I know in England they call it like gardening leave, like the time you get off of TV, or like basically he couldn't necessarily be shown when he agreed to dissolve his contract with Tony. And yeah, it was great to see him, and then that starts Ava on the path she's on now. So I thought, yeah, out of that group, those were the ones I really thought were quite, easy to pop in. That mast activation syndrome, I never heard of that before, and I am terrified of it.
Yeah, I think a couple things stand out. One is that I remember with Kevin Dunn, the narrative that I was seeing, and I it's interesting because I hadn't really thought of it this way, of how much Dunn has not just influenced WWE and how fans perceive wrestling to be, how they want it to be shown, or how it is, or most people are comfortable with, for a production standpoint. But like, it wasn't just WWE. It's like other organizations kind of follow that lead subconsciously or not subconsciously. And I didn't even really think about that in terms of, you haven't really seen like a ton of innovation when it comes to like the presentation, right? And I think, you know, some of the stuff WWE has done has been good. I mean, frankly, that's something AEW should be doing a lot more in, is innovating, leading, trying all types of new things and so on. But it's interesting because as much as, you know, that he was fine in the run, but in terms of like how women are viewed, how all these different things he had a hand in, and there was any reverence for him, put it that way, especially on wrestling Twitter, as much as that matters. Obafemi, I think he's got it. He and Trick, you think about this NIL program and recruiting college athletes, and so many ones just flame out or just don't work. But then if you hit on a couple, you're good. And they've hit in a couple here with Trick and Oba, and just give them time. Don't rush them. Just give them time. And I think, those are two huge wins for them to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I look at it as a three-pong assault. You can still, of course, sign your traditional indie wrestlers. You can grab someone that's a defector from AEW. But now between the NIL program, the traditional NXT developmental program, and also now their new WWE ID, you have these methods to kind of pick folk that might either be on the edge there. Because, you know, we always hear the stories back in the day of, you know, ex-football players that did really well, got hurt, then they became pro wrestlers. But seeing, you know, like Trick go from playing like football to going into wrestling, or see some of the ladies move from cheerleading or gymnastics or powerlifting, volleyball, you name it, and then become pro wrestlers. I think it's just a nice way to maximize your minutes, as JR would always say, in terms of who you find and how you're going to use them.
Yeah, agreed. Let's run through AEW, which didn't have a really newsworthy month, so we'll go with this first chunk and see if there's anything that that sticks out here. Adam Cole revealed the name of his new stable on Dynamite, which is called the Undisputed Kingdom. Adam Copeland on his retirement timeline, we're still looking at like a 2-year window, he said. Of course, he would get injured later in the year, and he should be back, I mean, by the end of the year, and expect, probably early 2025. So I don't know how that affects that timeline because he missed so much time with that broken leg. But we'll see. And I'm very intrigued as they get all these guys healthy, how that's going to work. The company announced that 4 CML stars are going to be coming to the promotion as that talent exchange really started getting going in January, especially with CMLL. They held their Battle of the Belts 9 show, RIP Battle of the Belts, which will be ending this year. There was an awesome Samoa Joe versus Hook World title match on Dynamite. I usually don't bring up like specific results from TV, but this was it was so much fun because it was just short and you knew that Hook wasn't going to win, but it was just a really entertaining like 8 or 9 minutes that I love those kind of shorter matches. I still remember like Brock and Goldberg from I think it was a WrestleMania or whatever that was just, you know, just it was just a brawl, a fight, and it ended mm-hmm. quickly, and it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. The company hired a new COO, Kosha Irby, who had, I believe, some relation with WWE in the past, but also was at Clemson University, and he's kind of helping kind of rebuild some of their efforts in a lot of ways with touring and so on and so forth. The company announced they're going to honor Brody Lee with 8-person tag team matches on Dynamite. Mark Briscoe and his family honored Jay Briscoe on Dynamite, the 1-year anniversary of his passing. That was a really cool moment there. Mark Quinn returned on Dynamite and Private Party reunited. Brian Cage is working through a torn lat. CJ Perry, who at this point is still on the roster, back in the hospital, made a second surgery because she had a MRSA infection in her hand. At one point, said it was heading in the right direction. There were some nasty pictures online of her finger, and she thought she was going to lose it at one point, but everything seems to be good right with her right now, but of course she's no longer with the company. Ray Phoenix gave an update on his latest injury. Tony Khan claimed a double standard for the reaction to Jinder Mahal's WWE title shot compared to some of the people. I can't remember what the specific situation was that he was comparing it to, but he was not happy. Jinder Mahal commenting, thanking him for the attention. And so on. So yeah, it was another day on Twitter. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang supergroup first formed on Collision. Britt Baker addressed taking a step back from the spotlight in 2023. So kind of really up and down last few years continued. Brian Danielson said he plans on wrestling 5 or 10 matches a year per year, part time when he gets there, and we're kind of there at this point. Of course, he still has to have neck surgery, so we'll see what happens there. Deonna Purrazzo signed with AEW and confronted Mariah May on Dynamite. And DJ WooKid said he witnessed a very intense brawl backstage at AEW All In. That being, of course, the Punk Jack Perry thing, which would come up later in the year as well. But thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, first of all, I would say talking about the Tony Khan, Jinder Mahal, if I remember correctly, it was because Tony, as part of introducing a title contender, he bristled at folks criticizing someone who had recently lost. I want to say it was either Darby or someone like that, getting another shot at a title. And so that's where he highlighted that double standard. CJ, you mentioned the pictures. I'd also be remiss if I didn't mention the video as well. Because I don't know if you remember this, Jack, but she put up a video of her like projectile vomiting in the hospital, and it was just part of her slideshow. So it's like, okay, this is her. This is Miro taking care of her and Exorcist. Like what? Like I was not ready for that. Like mentally, I was not ready to see that woman like in a hospital gown, just like randomly, you know, like turn around. Blah. I was like, wow. And you know, I'm glad she's all right, but that was terrifying. And to imagine, you know, she kept saying over and over, this is something I thought was just a basic cut. And it was also, anyone listening is probably like, of all the things she's picking, this was also indicative of what we heard with Maria Kanellis as well, in terms of doctors not listening to her and her having to do her own kind of like advocacy to lead to eventually them checking her out and finding out she was much sicker than they surmised. It was just a really weird period of time in terms of women under contract to AEW needing to be their own advocates with medical professionals outside of the company, clearly. And that was just wild. Danielson. Yeah. He's doing the best he can in part-time. I don't know with his recent injuries prior to his departure, if he's going to keep to that 5 to 10 matches a year. But yeah, I think those are the ones that really stood out to me.
And so the Tony Khan comment was about Samoa Joe and Hook. So there was online outrage for him getting a win, him getting the title shot, and then Tony Khan went to a double standard. Hook, 28-1 career record on winning streak, calls out the champ. A logical challenge sparks online outrage. Jinder has lost literally every single match he's in for the past year. Amiga gets title shot. Where's the rage? Hashtag AEW tomorrow on TBS. So there you go. There you go. I do remember all that now.
Justice for Jinder. I was like, my man caught a stray for no reason. He's sitting there eating his kale or whatever, you know, Jinder eats on a random Tuesday.
And now, Jinder now a free agent. You know, he could appear anytime AEW and make it good. So we'll see kind of what happens there. Other half of AEW and Ring of Honor for the month. Former champion MJF wrapped filming of a comedy called The Floaters. He was debating whether or not to rehab a shoulder injury or get surgery. Obviously, he was still out of action and kind of off the map after World's End. So he was. It would be quite some time before we'd see him again. Jim Ross says contract expires in February. He wants to call Sting's last match. He'd be re-signed to another deal. Probably going to be his last, but you never know. Obviously, in a very reduced role, which I think health-wise is pretty good for him at that point. Sting, we learned that he chose the Young Bucks. This is AEW retirement match opponents. We did not know how until February, but that would be obviously a big 3 months for Sting. Jimmy Jacobs said his AEW role doesn't really involve him writing wrestling TV. And that was in response to a lot of the criticism of some of the TNA-ish angles and such he was putting on there. WBD promoted AEW's viewership and demo success in 2023. Rankings returned, Rich, and then they disappeared again. I don't think they're ever going to come back.
Ever.
WBE during the negotiations or during the Raw negotiation with different parties and kind of the thing that you do as a potential a TV free agent, talk with WBD. And Tony Khan was asked about that. He said it's part of sports and didn't really seem to worry too much about that. He said online that 2024 is the next 2021 for AEW. Roosh suffered a torn hamstring during the Continental Classic, put him out of action. Swerve Strickland was cast in a horror film called Stiletto. Black Taurus reached a deal with AEW/Ring of Honor after leaving AAA and then would become the Beast Mortos, Frank Mortos, if you're nasty. Ortiz said that, and this what a situation here. Ortiz saying that Mike Santana was very adamant about not working with him anymore. These two former friends and tag team partners went all over the place. LAX, great team. And just friendship just evaporated just like that. Or probably not just like that, but just whatever it was. Straw broke the camel's back and those guys are done. Pac was expected to make his return soon after a long absence. Mercedes Moné was expected to debut on AEW TV soon. It would be a few months before that would happen. Andrade confirmed his departure and thanked Tony Khan on Twitter. And then the Bullet Club Gold won the ROH six-man titles on an episode of Dynamite. Anything there?
Yeah, I mean, Bullet Club Gold, every time I saw them, especially at this point before it went full bang bang gang, like all the time, he still had a little bit. I always would think about the song Gold. You know, always believe in your soul. You got the power to go. You're indestructible. Always believe in. And I don't know why. My brain just goes weird places. Mercedes also, like the rumor mill, I think it was great to kind of have that. Is she, will she, won't she, will she flip it, go to WWE, you know, all those fun things. Andrade turning into Mercedes, doing the Tony Khan thank you, where Mercedes used to thank Vince McMahon all the time on social media. And I think January was Tony month. It really felt like out of the 31 days, he was either beefing, celebrating, or tweeting about something for 20 of those 31 days. And it was really interesting to see now, look, just going through each of your bullet points and talking through them, man. Yeah. Tony really was fighting. He was fighting everybody. He was like, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. He was going full Rorschach and you never want to go full Rorschach. And sadly, especially since I've seen them wrestle so many times, for Ortiz and Santana to get to the point where they couldn't be a team anymore, because Santana was very adamant about that, was a lot, especially to see the way Ortiz reacted to how Santana went about it.
Yeah, it was a bummer to see for sure. Yeah, this guy should have been tag team champions AEW at least once. And who knows? You know what? Anyone, all that. I mean, Axel and Slash got back together, you know. I mean, Belichick and Brady shook hands, and all this stuff. You never
and now
know.
You're in the Let's Go universe. Like, he's got his own little podcast, and Belichick's there. So you're right. I have hope now.
That's true. Yeah, you know, girlfriend's 40 years younger than him. You know, all the things that the guys do when they get out of the NFL. I mean, Bill Parcells apparently didn't do it right, I guess. I don't know. Let's flip to TNA. Yes, TNA, no longer Impact Wrestling. Return with Hard to Kill. And, of course, a big hard reboot on the name after all that time. Moose won the world title. Of course, you knew this is what happened to TNA. They always do these big when they did have these pivot points where all of a sudden like five titles will change hands on a pay-per-view just to change it up. Moose won the world title. Jordan Grace won the Knockouts title. Crazy Steve won the digital media title. And then Decay won the Knockouts tag team titles. Nick Nemeth made his debut on the show. Dana Brooke, a.k.a. Ash by Elegance, made her debut. D'Angelo Williams made his return. Remember him? Former NFL player. Had the one match or in Impact. He was a tag team match. And looked pretty good. It was like, hey, this guy might have something, and then just never did it again. So, but he returned. The show did great. Pay-per-view against tough competition. That was a big storyline. Is one that might be their best-selling pay-per-view of the year. Zaya Brookside made her debut. A deal with AAA Talent Exchange was announced, and so on and so forth. So it was lots of good things going on in TNA. Of course, Ash by Elegance made her in-ring debut during the month. Dirty Dango signed a new deal. TNA Explosion made its return. I don't know if anyone was asking for more TNA content, but damn it, they were going to get it with TNA Explosion returning. Sacrifice returning for March. The company had all new belts. And then they announced the signing, or at least the brief signing anyway, of Mustafa Ali. He was confirmed for six TNA wrestling shows and would be doing a lot of stuff for them. And I think I'm just sticking around a little bit longer than that when their X Division title, we'll talk about more in February. But yeah, the TNA era, new era, is back.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that pay-per-view. I thought it was really fun. Jordan Grace has been one of my favorite wrestlers to watch the last year, and I thought that was a good magnum opus for her. Crazy Steve, I'm always on the fence, but I do enjoy the Decay. Nick and Dana, I think Ash by Elegance has been an inspiration for her, allowing her to kind of find a niche without it being seen as this was my old WWE gimmick and I'm porting it over. And Nick Nemeth, I think, lives in denim. So whatever you see on screen, I think, is as much him as it was of Dolph Ziggler. So I didn't see that as a negative. Dirty Dango, TNA Explosion. Like, I'm with you. I would like to, if anything, shrink the amount of wrestling content that's out there in terms of hourly distribution, as opposed to just keep throwing more, more, more. And of Mustafa Ali, I like the presidential campaign gimmick he had and his security and all the stuff he did with his debut. And really, I overall enjoyed the risks that TNA took, because I felt more often than not they paid off.
Yeah. Let's go to Japan. A bunch of different stuff here, so we'll rip through this and get your thoughts on anything there. We had Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. Was set for New Japan's New Beginning in Osaka. Hiromu Takahashi re-signed with the company. Jack Perry tore up his AEW contract in a surprise New Japan wrestling debut. Of course, he had not been in AEW since All In, the first one. And yeah, so he made his return and kind of a different look and so on. Charlie Dempsey made as part of this, as we mentioned earlier, WWE looking to make more inroads to Japanese companies. He competed overseas, losing in a All Japan Triple Crown title match with Charlie Dempsey, the son of William Regal, getting some run over there. Will Ospreay was set for a steel cage match as his final show as a New Japan wrestler. His time is coming to an end again at a New Beginning in Osaka in February. Of course, Wrestle Kingdom 18 on my birthday every single year. Naito won the IWGP World title. Nick Nemeth made an appearance, and along with his brother Ryan Nemeth. The company crowned their first IWGP Global Champion, complete with a new belt, that being David Finlay. Okada defeated Bryan Danielson, and we had the There was a strong openweight tag team champions, Hikuleo and El Phantasmo, defeating the IWGP tag team champions, Goto and Yoshihashi, to unify those titles. We had Tama Tonga, TJP, and Francisco Akira, and El Desperado all leaving the event as new champions. And President Tanahashi, defeating Zack Sabre Jr. for the TV title. John Moxley versus Naito, Mustafa Ali versus Hiromu Takahashi was set for Windy City Riot in Chicago. It was learned, and I should have put this at the top, actually, Okada, this is at the beginning of a big couple months of change for New Japan, because Kazuchika Okada leaving New Japan at the end of his contract. At that point, he was undecided on whether it was going to be AEW or WWE. He trademarked the name Rainmaker and then vacated the never open white six-man tag team titles. Of course, we know what happened, where he would sign and all that as well, but that was pretty monumental. Stardom announced their return to U.S. for the first time since 2019. Kota Ibushi apologized for that bizarre, bad, awful match. We got hurt at NOAH the New Year, underwent ankle surgery. Master Wato out of action with torn ACL. The company revealed their lines for Fantasca Mania along with CMLL. They held Battle in the Valley again. Okada defeated Ospreay in one of their final single matches, at least at that point. Moxley defeating Shingo Takagi. The final Okada versus Tanahashi singles match took place. Who knows, as part of this retirement tour for Tanahashi, I think we might see those guys again, perhaps in an AEW ring. We'll see. New champions are crowned at the New Beginning in Nagoya, Evil and the Great Okan. And then Matt Riddle issued a challenge to Tanahashi at New Year's Dash and was set to compete on the February New Japan Tour in Japan. So a lot going on with New Japan. Again, a lot of transition. Will Ospreay getting ready to depart, Okada departing, and Matt Riddle coming in. But obviously, you know, two titans there with Ospreay and Okada leaving. Of course, we'd see them a lot in AEW. But, you know, for Japan fans and New Japan fans especially, that must have been a big bummer.
Yeah, it was a lot of change at one time. It was a lot of transition. I feel like I'm going into Wuthering Heights, a Tale of Two Cities, rather. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Tama Tonga, TJP, and Francisco Akira. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I thought that the champions that left, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Tanahashi with the TV title, you know, in hindsight makes sense. Naito, I thought it was going to hang him up and just let it go. And just, I think about the year after. It goes back to the very beginning of the podcast. We were talking about Venom. If this is, as much as we talk about Tanahashi and his, like, Cena-esque retirement tour, I think Naito needs to be in the same boat. Yeah. Like, I think he needs to just hang them boots up and just go off and watch baseball and relax. I look at Ibushi, that apology after the NOAH New Year match, have an ankle surgery, again, similar to Tony Khan, going on Twitter asking, does anyone know how to make your shoulder feel better? Because my doctor doesn't. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Do you have Dr. Nick as your doctor? Like, what are we doing? Like,
hello, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, my guy. And of course, the last but not least, the Naito deal was bad because it was coupled with Okada leaving. And Okada was the guy I didn't think anyone anticipated would leave. And so when you have that happen, New Japan kind of had to scramble. And I'm just still to this day flabbergasted that they couldn't even get a loss out. It was like, on the way out, thanks, guys. So long. Thanks for all the fish.
Yeah.
Gotta go. And he was basically that wasn't Ryan Gosling. Who was that, Ryan Gosling? I always think of the meme where the gentleman's like putting the two fingers up and then just walks into the fog and disappears. That was basically Okada.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think Okada's, I think his, it's time for him to earn some money here in this Continental Classic tournament, put it that way. I think I've been underwhelmed. I think the three free agents that the big three they sign, obviously Ospreay has kind of, I think, been the leader in that group in terms of just how he's hit and connected, and obviously with his unbelievable offense. Yeah, I think that works. I think Monet has been okay, but I think they expected a little bit more in terms of a drawing power, I guess. And I think they kind of dropped the ball with not having her align with that EVP group earlier on with the Bucks when they were really trying to drive that home. It was very a light alliance, but it wasn't like a full turn. And I think they kind of missed on something with that. And but Okada, like I've never been a big New Japan watcher. I obviously have seen some of the big stuff and so on, but I have not been that blown away by this first year. And to me, I think this Continental Classic is really, he's got to do some stuff to stand out. And I know he's not gonna, go do hardcore matches or like, start doing Fosbury flops or anything like that. But I think this is his time to kind of show people this is why I'm getting paid the big bucks. And against hopefully a variety of different opponents, because last year's Continental Classic I thought was a lot of fun because all these people, these first time matches, different styles and so on. And I think I have high expectations for this one, but I think he's gonna. It's time to time to hit the gas a little bit. That's just me.
No, I agree with you. I think the time for the play is over, and it's time to kind of like move into something better. A lot of it, he can't just say the B word over and over. Like
Yeah.
that's not. But the thing is, that's what he wants to do. He wants to be different. He wants to. But it's like, okay, Continental Classic time. Let's turn this into your G1, and let's show folks why you're the rainmaker. Because I think the biggest misstep they made with the process of acquiring Okada was assuming that everyone outside of the folks who have seen him in New Japan would accept him being the GOAT. Like I said to Wade over at the Torch when they finally won the battle for Okada. I was like, treat this dude like John Wick. Like have folks, one of my buddies passed away. He had this podcast, the BMF cast, Bad Movie Fiends. And they would always talk about the idea you ensign. So like anytime you see an action movie and you have these henchmen and all they're always talking about like, oh man, you don't want to mess with this guy. I heard he killed a chicken. Like, what? This guy. And they just keep heightening how awesome the dude is before you even see him. And then he does the first thing, and you're like, ah, oh, he's so cool. Same thing with Okada. I wanted a profile with like Jim Ross or Renee or someone just sitting down talking about, listen. If you talk about Okada, or for those of you who are listening and you want to get silly, do me a favor, turn on Zoolander and play the first 5 minutes of that movie. That is the perfect version of a non-action movie ensign. You're setting up a stage for someone to be so awesome, even though this is a fictional world, and you've established Derek Zoolander is one of the biggest folks in the world. You have his new young gun chasing after him, and he beats him for a big award, and off you pop. I think with Okada, that could have been him. Well, not Derek Zoolander, but you see what I mean. He could have been the he's an Ebby Turner. We already know Okada's an Ebby Turner. We don't have to worry about that. But this would have been a showcase because I think the problem for me is on television, you don't get it all the time because his best epics are like 35-minute specials. And you can't do that every week on TV with him.
Right. Yep. Time for him to shine. And yeah, he's getting paid the big bucks, so there's no reason he shouldn't. So we'll start seeing that in a little bit less than 2 weeks. So let's round out the bend with the junk drawer category. This is everything that did not fit above. Of course, the people in here are not all junk. Maybe a couple, but not all of them. Alpha the Wild Samoan, not one of them, was released from the hospital, recovering from pneumonia, suffered two heart attacks. So yeah, not good there. Former WCW wrestler Ice Train passed away in January, and one of those guys that it wasn't a standout, but I think for those of a certain generation, they certainly will always remember some of these classic guys and notable guys from WCW, and he was certainly one of them. Velveteen Dream released an apology video. Hulk Hogan helped rescue a driver of an overturned vehicle. I guess the story is wearing an NWO shirt at the time, and
Yes.
just again, just picture like the Hogan thing. Like we get all the bad shit. Just
Yeah.
for a second though, like have be going in a car accident and being like completely out of it, and seeing Hulk Hogan walk up. I mean, someone must have thought they were completely still knocked out or something. That'd be the weirdest.
And hearing
Be
him
like,
saying, I got you, brother.
I know, I yeah, be like, seeing like Bruce Willis or Brad Pitt or so, just someone not compared to, but like something that completely is out of like nowhere of like what is it, what is going on here? This person's actually helping. But yeah, that was the story there. Kylan King, out of action 9 to 12 months due to knee injury, so she should be turning back pretty soon. She was one that got, you know, some spots in Impact Wrestling, or, you know, TNA rather, and you know, a couple appearances AEW, I think, from time to time. And I think the promotion in TNA was trying to get behind her, and then of course, unfortunate injury. So we'll see. Hopefully, better 2025 for her. The premiere date list of topics was announced for season 5 of Dark Side of the Ring, which is be debuting in March. Paul Walter Hauser, the actor, mentioned Kota Ibushi and Matt Cardona in his Emmy speech. And of course, PWH would appear in the ring several times throughout the year. We'll talk about that later on in the series. Mickey James joining OVW in a creative director and executive producer role. MLW announced an expanded schedule for 2024. So despite the lawsuit and or the big settlement they won, Court Bauer didn't take the money and run, you know, which I kind of maybe thought, just go down to disappear into the Bahamas or something like that and just have drinks the rest of your life and do whatever. No, he still wants to stay in Philadelphia and run the Joy 300 Arena. And that's what he's doing. So they're still going. There's this big, like, just an embarrassing situation for the NWA about them and the CW. They had to issue a correction on where their upcoming reality show would air. Essentially, a lot of people thought that the Billy Corgan show and the NWA Power was coming to CW would air on the network. However, it was airing on the streaming app instead. And it was just this big whole thing of, like, they just let this thing linger for a while. People were like, wow, it's going to be on the CW. And they never corrected until finally they had to. And it's like, oh, it's on the streaming app. Got it. Got it. Got it. And then BLKG's for the NWA. Recovered from a gunshot suffered during an attempted carjacking. Poor guy. He had, I think, been injured a little bit the year before. So that was kind of the best of the rest. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, I think the Mickey James, similar to OVW, and I like the way he arranged it. OVW basically got found money from that Netflix series and wanted to really kind of pounce on it. And you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about, you know, that whole thing, because you have the NWA Power episodes, you have the streaming app, you had the debacle months prior with the cocaine and all that. NWA, man, I don't know. And then poor Black G's, like, gunshot. Like, that was just a lot. And then, like you said, PWH, this was the rise of PWH. This guy, I have been enamored with watching him. And now, I guess, Big Boom AJ and we're in another era of dudes coming off of TV or reality shows or, I guess, streaming online and getting back into, in the case of Big Boom, or getting into wrestling in the case of PWH. Now, will we ever be treated to the PWH Big Boom match in Wembley? That's my question.
We'll see. We'll see. And thank you for the correction. Black G's, not BLK G's. I see three letters. I was thinking NWO, like, try to pronounce them different. Like, I don't know.
It's like in Stardom. Anytime, you know, I'm sure you'll cover it. The situation with Mercedes, where she mispronounced one of the wrestlers because she removed a couple of, Azumi removed a couple of vowels and it was just AZM. She's like, oh, I love AZM. And I was like, oh God.
Good stuff. All right. Well, boy, what a wild month. Kickoff 2024. And I appreciate you spending the time. Before we let you go, let's give you a chance to plug where to find you, because by the time that people listen to this, you will be you'll be off X and fully on Blue Sky, if I have that correctly. So where should people follow you? Where can they read your work, listen to you and all the good stuff, and even watch you on the YouTube? The floor is yours.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, on the YouTube, definitely that's going to be every now and again we'll have a Wade Keller hot take over at the Pro Wrestling Torch. That's where I do a lot of my base operations. So with the Torch, I do a column, as well as the Everything with Rich Fan show with Wade Keller, the Deep Dive with Will Cooling, and Everything Mailbag with Josh Mustachio. Over on Post Wrestling, I've been for the last few years with WH Park doing MCU Later, which, as you mentioned before, is a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We have some good things coming up now with What If. We also have, I put out a little Cody Rhodes-esque, my penmanship sucks, so I just put it on a notepad app and cut and paste. But we have a little plan for 24-25. in terms of what we're doing out there, particularly, you know, What If and kind of the Daredevil series and kind of the Devil, you know, going with that. And then, like you said, social media wise, yeah, I will keep most likely just until the appropriate folks sports wise come over and I can follow them. I'll probably have it just as a zombie account, but yeah, you can follow me, easier to follow me in terms of any social media content. Rich Fan, RichFann dot blue sky dot social. I think that's what they do now over there. Yeah. Thanks. I really appreciate this. I think this is a fun way to kind of remember. It's almost like that meme you do on social media. Remember some guys like you, you won't go to therapy, but you can name some random wrestlers or some random football players, Joe Fishes, and it just have fun with it and go from there. And I think remembering the month that was is a good way to kind of think, holy cow, almost like we didn't start the fire. So much happened in just one month.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's why I love doing this. You go back and look at all the stuff you forgot. And at the time, you're like, oh, it's meant everything. And then you're like, what happened? Forget all about it. But yeah, it'll be another eventful 2025. But I appreciate you joining me again. You're a great addition to the series last year. And I'm glad for you to lead things off and our look back at 2024. Rich Fan, thanks so much.
Thank you for the time.